I am Ife Adedeji, once again, and I am the editor of Africa at Ohio, which, like I explained to you, is a blog in the African Studies program that publishes research and writings and also ideas from the Ohio University community for global readers to access. And thank you very much for your presentation today. It was interesting. And so just to kickstart this, I would like you to introduce yourself and to tell, you know, say one or two things about what you do and what your work is about.
Right. I'm actually Kwame Adrinochu. I'm an assistant professor of African American and African Studies at the University of Virginia's Carter J. Woodson Institute for African American and African Studies. I am an anthropologist by orientation. I got my PhD in cultural anthropology from Syracuse University. I was here for my master's in sociology, and my field work actually took me back to Ghana to explore the lives of, or the multi-dimensional lives of, a community of self-identified effeminate men called Sasso. I was basically interested in the ways in which these men navigated their sexual selves, right, in a space or a domain perceived to be inherently homophobic, right? I collected their stories to be able to rewrite the narrative that Ghana in particular, but Africa in general, is a homophobic continent, right? And in so doing, wanting to complexify such generalizations about Africa as the homophobic continent or the dark continent, right? And to show the ways in which these narratives and constructs actually have a history that need to be critically traced, right? So that's really the work I do.
And what are some of the interesting findings that you came up with during the course of your research?
Well, I mean, the fact that there's some relevance in thinking about the field subjects we engage with as people who have the agency to theorize their lives, right? So one thing that profoundly transformed the ways in which I thought about my own work was to imagine the men I studied as, you know, intellectuals, interlocutors, people who were telling me things that would enrich my way of thinking, my theory-making desire. And also, in the process of the field work, I actually happened upon African philosophy as a very fecund space, as well as African literature. Actually, you know, African literature sort of being a domain where people critically think about African lives, you know, and its convolutedness and complexity, right? So in my research, I think I've actually accidentally happened upon so many things I would never have expected, because, you know, my scholarship really began with me appreciating Western theories, right? And somehow along the line realized that, wow, African scholarship is so rich, right? There's something we need to do. So that really has helped, you know, that really has helped to shape, you know, the way I think about my work.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you talk about the ways that international NGOs come to these areas, and even sometimes the state make assumptions or fix identities of these people who live in these communities. What are, from the people that you talk to, what are some of the ways that those people self-identify that miss the point that those NGOs and even the government and other people, the points that they make about what those identities are? What are some of the ways those people self-identify that evade this easy categorization?
So I know, I think one thing I'm trying to say is that Sasso, as it were, you can't reduce Sasso to just the description of an effeminate man. Sasso could also mean someone who has sex with men. Sasso could also mean someone who, you know, can also be a woman who sleeps with women, right? So even this term is so convoluted, and it's just a convolution of the term that evades to use your language what the categorical imperatives of these NGOs, right? That there need to be this investment, interest in, okay, understanding the cultural context in which these people live and the language they use, what vocabularies, what semantics are available to them in the project of working on their identities
every time, right? That what tools, what, you know, linguistic rubrics do they draw upon? So partially what I'm doing here is to actually compel these organizations to attend to these, you know, very intimate details, right, about how these guys craft themselves and the ways in which how they craft themselves might actually not always align with the way they are imagined by the organizations in
right.
the stadium.
And you also talked about the possibilities of making on or of discovering or constructing unimagined alliances
mm-hmm.
between evangelical Christians and international organizations. Can you talk more about this?
Yeah, so my argument here is that they both go into Africa to rescue the African subject, and that particular connection is something that needs to be made, right? That you do have these organizations operating under the umbrella or banner of rescue the African subject from perishing, and this has always been the MO or the modus operandi for colonial projects, right? And so I'm basically trying to say that both these Christian and transnational projects are both colonial or neo-colonializing gestures that actually happen under the adjudication of imperialism, white imperialism in particular, right? So again, like Nguyễn Văn Thiệu says, we still our minds need to be decolonized, right? And this is part of my way of actually unsettling this colonial mentality that continues to saddle us.
Right. Thank you very much, Dr. Kwan.